Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the baptism service to Andrew and Claire. It's great to see you. And you've brought Georgia with you. How old is she?
13 months.
Hang on a second. Let me get this mic out. Here we go.
She's 13 months.
Okay. Now, I've got news for you about babies. It's a big, big mistake because I've had a few of my own. The mistake is feeding them. You feed them, you wash them, you do the nappies, then you do it all over again. And again, and again, and again. And the terrible thing about babies is that they grow up. They get bigger. They get bigger and bigger. And before you know what happens, you know, they're walking, they're talking, but then they're going to school. The next minute, honestly, Claire, they're the same size as you, and they're going and bringing their boyfriends home. It happens very quickly. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt and washed it a few times as well. They grow up. And of course, she's just over a year now, but you know, a little while, toddler groups, nurseries, she'll be going to school. Does anyone remember your first day at school? Do you remember your first day at school? I hated it. It was my first day. I'd never been to nursery or toddler group. They weren't around in my day. I'm that old, I know. And I was really scared. And the teacher had this big cane on top of the cupboard. And I thought, oh, it was scary. Anyone remember their first? Come on. Anyone remember their first day at school? Come on. Come on, let's give me a few.
You've not been to school yet.
What, do you remember your first day at school?
Yeah, I hated it. I didn't like it. I just wanted to run out and go home.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
How about you?
I remember because I wet myself and they sent me home.
Did you bring them?
Don't know them.
Someone at the back here, I think, was also offering something. Did you wet yourself?
No, I didn't.
What did you do?
I rode on a rocking horse, and in the afternoon we had little camp beds that we used to have a nap on.
I don't know, they didn't work in those days.
I had a bottle of milk and went to sleep.
Well, I mean, people remember different things. I tried this morning at the 8 o'clock service, and a man that's a bit older, he said to me, he remembered his first day at secondary school. At the end of his first day at secondary school, he had a brand new uniform. His cap had been pushed in the mud, his coat was all dirty, it was completely messy, he went home all dishevelled. And I said, and that was what happened to the girls did to you alone, wasn't it? So we had this bad map. Do you remember your first day at work, anyone? Afraid I can't, because I've never done a proper job. I only work on Sundays. Let's not go there, sore point, okay. Do you remember your first day at work? Anyone going to tell me about their first day at work? Come on. Who can remember their first day at work? Oh, come on, guys. Got one at the back here. Come on, let's try that. Yeah.
My first day at work was a Saturday job, and I was an elf in Santa's grotto.
Oh, and what a beautiful elf you must have been. Let's try over here. Come on. What was your first day at work?
Making toilet rolls.
Where was that at?
Asil Factory.
I was about to say it would be over there, wouldn't it? Mike's got one at the back here. Don't tell me it was in Kenya, please.
It was.
Go on.
I remember my first day at work as we travelled into Nairobi. There was zebra and wildebeest beside us on the road.
Thank you. Well, you can have that in Regent's Park in London if you go there, actually. I had when I was a curate, an apprentice vicar in Liverpool many years ago, there was a lad in the church there who worked at the Ford factory at Halewood. And he said, on his first day on the shop floor, one of the lads said to him, look, it's Friday night, and on Friday we have a bit of a problem because we've got too many cars and we haven't got any space to put all these new ones. So what the workers have to do, we all have to take one of the new cars home with us. So go and have a word with the gaffer and ask him to tell you which car you've got to take home with you tonight. Got it? Yeah, okay. Another guy said to me this morning, on his first day on the shop floor, someone said to him, you've got to go to the workshop and ask for a left-handed spanner. All the jokes people play on each other, yeah, okay. Where are we getting to? Well, this morning we've got a baptism service, and our theme this morning is the baptism of Jesus, because what you're going through this morning, Georgia, is exactly what Jesus did. And in the gospel story we had this read to us this morning about Jesus. Now, this was a little bit later in life. Let me tell you the story. Jesus, you know about his birth at Bethlehem, the Christmas story and all that, yeah? He grows up. Now, we don't know for sure, but in the Gospels, Joseph simply disappears. Many folks think he probably died. And so Mary was a single mum bringing up the family. Jesus had brothers and sisters. We knew that he was the eldest. So I guess if he was, say, maybe 15 when his dad died and there was another baby coming along, others, he would have to be the head of the family. And he would have to relate to the youngest son had had a bar mitzvah. So Jesus was the head of the family. And he would have taken care. He'd have had to have the family business. It was a carpentry business. He'd have had to run the business for the first 30 years of his life. That was his main job. But he always knew he had another job, a much bigger job to do. He knew that his big job was to, only a small thing, change the world. Jesus had a vision of changing the world, oh, not through an AK-47, not through politics, not through hatred, but he believed that he was being called by his Father to do something special, to change the world by talking about a day in which justice and mercy and love would be actually the way in which our society would live, in which the poor and the marginalized would be on top and the rich sent empty away. It was a world in which justice would be given to those who are marginalized. It was a place where love would rule over hate, where there would be justice rather than corruption and backhanders. And he believed this was the kingdom he was called to start. So at the age of 30, he had, if you like, his first day at work. And his first day at work in his new ministry was to get himself baptized. Let me explain. There was this guy called John the Baptist, slightly wacky guy, funny outfit, camel coat, stank of camel, but never mind, that's another story. He had long hair, he had a funny diet, but you know, he was an outsider. He was not part of the religious establishment. He wasn't in Jerusalem where the temple, the big cathedral was. He was out in the desert, and he talked about God was doing a new thing. And the amazing thing was, people turn up in droves to see and hear this guy. They came out of Jerusalem, they came out of the cities, and they went out into the desert where this guy John was baptizing people. And he was saying, it's time for something new. God is doing a new thing, and it's not going to be about me, it's about someone else who's going to have this job of changing the world. And Jesus turns up, and he says, I want to get baptized too. This is my first day at work. I want to get launched. I want to have the opportunity of saying what's really going to be important for me. And so he gets baptized. I guess there might have been hundreds, thousands of people there. But Jesus, at the age of 30, he gets baptized. But it wasn't just the average baptism. Not there is ever an average baptism. He, when he goes into the water, he sees heaven open. He has a religious experience. Something very special happens to him in that situation. The scripture finds it quite hard to explain it, really. But then you hear a voice, and it wasn't just him who heard it. This is my son in whom I'm really pleased. Can you imagine that? This is my child. This is my son. This is the one I really think great of. Can you imagine if Georgia gets to 5 years old, 4 years old, goes to school, and then the first day at school, the head teacher picks her up to the front and says, I want to introduce you to the children, everyone, to Georgia this morning, because Georgia is very special. She is the one we're really pleased with. Or imagine the first day at secondary school, how embarrassing for her. The head teacher pulled up the front and said, Georgia here, she'll be that high by that stage, is a very special young woman. Or maybe at the first day of work on the shop floor, or wherever it may be, I don't know what she's going to do for a living. It's a bit early to say it, isn't it? But if the guy or the CEO in the company says to everyone, stop work, I want you to know, Georgia is a really important member of this team. Again, it would be embarrassing, but that's pretty much what happened to Jesus. As he's about to start his new job of changing the world, of proclaiming the kingdom of God, of his healing ministry, of his care for people, his love for people, he knew it was going to be tough. He knew that their religious authorities and the politics would be all against him. But he starts his first day on the job by coming to baptism. And the Father says to him, this is my child. Isn't he fantastic? And that's what we're doing today with Georgia. We're bringing her to baptism, and God is saying, have you seen Georgia? She's brilliant. She's wonderful. She's my daughter. I made her. She's unique. She's special. I broke the mold after her. She's so important. She is the one who is very special to me. And my friends, as we do that baptism for her, I want to remember for all of us, many of us were baptized. For some of us, it may be a long time ago. Some of us, it may not even be in living memory. It might have been when we were babies. Excuse me. But when you get baptized, part of the service effectively is God looks at us and says, yes, this individual, this person is special. I made them unique. They've got particular gifts. They are amazing. They're wonderful. Each child has the potential to change the world as Jesus did. And the invitation at baptism is to follow in those footsteps and to be part of his kingdom. That's what we're doing for Georgia. But I want everybody here this morning who's already been baptized to understand that God has already said that to and for you. You're special. You're incredible. God made you. You have infinite potential. And God wants you to be part of his movement to change the world. A baptism service isn't a little inoculation, a bit of religion done on a Sunday to keep me going for the rest of our life. It's a launch pad for all the future can hold. So it's wonderful to have Georgia at this baptism. It's a very special moment for her and I hope for her family. But when we make these promises, when we go through this service, this is for us too. And God looks at us and says, yeah, you're special too. Amen.
When you come to realise just how much God loves you, it changes.